Hey guys, it's Allie. Welcome back to In for Life, the podcast. This is episode 378 called Cat, the IVF Baby. This episode is sponsored by Fertile. You guys know I'm always looking for real solutions and real hope when it comes to fertility. And that's why I'm so excited to share this. Fertile just hit a huge milestone. Over 500 fertile babies have been born. 500, you guys. Mind blown. But what I love most about this is it's not just numbers. These are real families, real stories, people who had been trying, sometimes for a really long time, and finally got their positive. Fertile is the first of its kind, totally sterile, at-home insemination kit designed to help you conceive in a more accessible, less clinical, and honestly, more empowering way. Whether you're just starting your journey, trying between treatments, or looking for something that gives you more control, this is an option worth knowing about. I also love that the Fertile team, led by Dr. Jen, who was diagnosed with infertility, is focused on education and support, not just the product. Because she has been through it too, and like us, knows this journey is about so much more than just timing and tests. So if you've been feeling stuck or just want to explore all of your options, check out Fertile at Fertile.com. That's P-H-E-R-D-A-L.com. The best part? Infertile AF listeners get $10 off with the code InfertileAF. Go to Fertile.com today and use code InfertileAF for $10 off. Because 500 babies means something is working. Thanks, Fertile. This episode is brought to you by Generations CryoVault. If you're going through fertility treatment, you already know every decision matters. But here's one thing most people don't realize. You do have a choice in where your eggs, sperm, and embryos are stored. Most clinics just keep them or quietly move them to a partner facility. No conversation, no options. But that's not your only path. Enter Generations CryoVault. Their motto says it all. Your tissues, your choice. They specialize in one thing, secure, long-term reproductive storage, and they do it better because they're independent and they're not juggling procedures or upsells. They're passionate about protecting your future. And the best part? Storage starts at just $425 a year, often less than half of what clinics charge. Generations is also ISO certified, the only independent reproductive tissue storage facility in the US with that distinction. That means that every process, every safeguard, every detail has been independently verified to meet the highest global standard. Plus, no hidden fees, no extra charge for quarantine storage, and every shipment is insured up to $50,000. This is your future family we're talking about. You deserve transparency, control, and peace of mind. Take ownership of this part of your journey at gencryo.com and use code INFERTILEAF26 to receive 1 month off an annual plan. Again, that's gencryo.com and code INFERTILEAF26 for 1 month free. Because this isn't just storage, it's your story. Thanks, Generations CryoVault. Guys, I am so excited about my next work of art book, Petri Dish Princess, the origin story of the first IVF baby in the US, Elizabeth Carr, which celebrates IVF, science, hope, and the magic of how families are made. And here's the exciting part. You can actually be a part of the book. Right now, we're inviting our community to join the Petri Dish Princess through special community tiers, which means your family, your name, your illustration can be included in the project in a very meaningful way. So if you've been thinking about doing this, don't wait. The book is being illustrated right now, and the window to get involved is closing fast. Once the artwork is done, it's done. So this is more than a book. It's a chance to help create something that IVF kids and families will grow up seeing themselves in for years to come. To learn more about the community tiers and how to be a part of Petri Dish Princess, head to infertileafgroup.com. Again, that's infertileafgroup.com. All right. On today's episode, I'm talking to Kat, better known as the IVF baby on socials. And yes, that's exactly what it sounds like. Kat was conceived through IVF herself long before people were openly talking about infertility, assisted reproduction, and what it means to grow up as an IVF conceived person. Now Kat is using TikTok and Instagram to normalize IVF from a perspective we rarely hear, the IVF child who's now an adult herself. through myth-busting videos, honest conversations, and answering questions that people are sometimes too afraid to ask, Kat is helping break down stigmas in a big way. And in this episode, she shares her full story, what it was like learning she was conceived through IVF, how it's shaped her identity, the reaction she gets online, and why she believes visibility matters so much right now. Without further ado, this is Kat's IVF story. Hello, Kat. It's so great to meet you.
Great meeting you as well. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for doing this. So I have been following you on social media where you talk about being an IVF baby. And I just told you before we started recording, I haven't had an adult IVF baby on the call yet. You know, I've been working with Elizabeth Carr, the first IVF baby in the US, on the book that we're coming out with later this year called Petri Dish Princess. But, you know, other than her, you know, I haven't really talked to anybody else. So this is very cool. And I'm excited to hear your origin story. So let's start there. When did you find out that this is the way you came into the world? Did your parents tell you?
Yes, actually, I've known for as long as I can remember. This is going to sound crazy, but actually it took me until I got older to realize that that's not how babies are made. Because people would be like, oh, you know, there's another natural way. I was like, what do you mean? Every baby's made in a Petri dish. Because my mom was a fertility doctor. So not only that, I got through from the medical perspective of that, but also my parents were going through infertility, not just to have me, but after me, they wanted another child. So for many years, that kept going to many rounds that ended up being in, some had a pregnancy, some ended up in miscarriages, unfortunately. But throughout that whole story, they would take me on trips with them because I was born and raised in Europe. So, and at the time, access was still limited across the world. But even back then in the 90s, you had to go mostly to another country to pursue IVF. So mm-hmm. those trips and everything, they would take me with them. Some trips were so early that I don't remember. But as I got older, like 4, 5, 6 years old, I do remember spending time with the medical team that helped create me, which is one of my favorite parts. But seeing that from the personal side and everything that it took to my parents, I grew up surrounded by that and saw the courage, the sacrifice, and everything that goes into that. And my mom at the time actually wasn't a fertility doctor yet. She was an OBGYN. Before I was born, my parents started a woman health clinic in Europe where that was their focus. But I think after years and years in fertility and not being able to have maybe more children and seeing how it changes people's lives, my mom decided to specialize and go into do fertility stuff as well. So she became a fertility doctor a few years after she decided to end her fertility journey. And she opened up a fertility clinic as well. And that's really, that fertility world and IVF has been around me for as long as I can remember. And my passion for it has really just grown ever since.
That's absolutely incredible. Again, it's so many people in this world, in the fertility world, who have created things or, you know, are doing things because they had struggles themselves. So I love that your mom, you know, went down that road after, you know, seeing how hard it was for her own journey. So what can you tell me about what your parents went through? What do you know about before they had you leading up to them doing IVF?
Yes, they tried for years. My mom was in her late 30s and they were trying for years. And I think eventually they decided to do IVF. They got lucky on the first try with me. But after that, they wanted many kids. And mm-hmm. unfortunately, after me, they went through 6 more rounds of IVF. 4 of those ended up in miscarriages. Mm. And I think I get a lot of DMs actually asking about secondary infertility and mm-hmm. what
I had
that and how did they decide to stop? They're like, you know, I'm really afraid that my first child, the one that I have right now, they're gonna have anger or hate me that I didn't give them a sibling, you know. And I remember growing up, I always wanted a sibling. I loved going on those trips because as a 5-year-old, I was like, oh, I'm gonna come back and I'm gonna have a sibling, you know. And I obviously didn't understand the medical side of it. But the idea of that, I loved it. And I don't remember saying this, but this is, if you were to ask my dad now, well, my parents at the time, they would say that I helped them stop because my mom used to say, you know, you made a common once because after her last miscarriage, I remember the tears. We were all devastated, but I was only six. So I apparently I made a comment saying like, well, if they don't want to stick around and be with us, we don't want them. And she, which now I'm like, whoa, that's not a selfish.
As only a 6 year old can say.
Yeah, a 6 year old being hurt that like my sister at the time didn't want to stick around, you know? And I think to my mom, she was like, you know, in that moment, I realized that you never asked for a sibling after that. You were like, all I cared was the love that I got from my parents. So she said, I realized that I'm not letting you down anymore. And I knew that for us and my body, I couldn't keep going anymore. So she was like, I decided to stop and focus on you. And then that's when she went into helping others in IVF.
Wow. That's absolutely incredible. I love how little kids, you know, say things and
can be brutal.
But the way it's the truth and the way it comes out, and it can really change the trajectory of like somebody's life path too, you know? Right. So where were you guys in Europe? Where did you grow up?
I was in Eastern Europe. I was born and raised in Serbia.
Okay. Do you remember exactly how they told you, or was it, there wasn't like a conversation? It was just kind of like,
I don't remember. Like, for example, yeah, I've always known because I have still pictures when I was going like 3 year old in the lab with the fertility doctor helped create me. I've been trying to actually find a picture so I can post it online, but it's somewhere left in Serbia at the time. It's going to take me a little bit to find it. I've constantly been all the pictures that I can see from my childhood, all the trips that we've done. It was mostly like going to the help. I was actually created in a lab in Slovenia. So all those little trips and family that we stay with, like that was all kind of part of the story. Mm-hmm. And then even from there, I kept going. My mom was always being, I think that's the beauty of being an only child. They get just kind of bring you along everywhere they go.
Right.
So when my mom would go to all the conferences and stuff with the other fertility doctor, they would bring me along. So I remember I was 10 years old when I used to play piano when I was a kid. And they bring me into this huge ballroom that they were having. Obviously, I wouldn't be able to part of the conference, but it's the social events that I was part of. And they were like, oh, our IVF baby is going to play a little. It was the most nervous I've ever been in my life. But I remember in that moment in that room, I was like, well, all these doctors help create lives. And as a 10-year-old, I was like, if it weren't for them, I probably wouldn't be here. And I think at the time, now I'm looking back, I'm like, that was so, so big. Like what doctor, I have utmost respect for doctors in this, in any field, right? But especially in this one that helped create a life to, for all of us to be here.
I mean, right.
13 million IVF babies out there that wouldn't be here with the help of all the village that it takes to
bring us here. I could not agree more. I love that. So tell me about what you're doing today on social media. How did you get the idea that you wanted to share your story and be such an advocate for IVF and family building through assisted reproduction? All the things that you're doing. When did this start for you?
Really, the advocacy side for me started when I was 16. I think my passion for women's health has always been there. I think that's what my mom raised me with. You know, even growing up, when it just comes to learning about everything that women's health entails and fertility, even when I was like 12, 13 years old, when I got my first period, my mom would be like, make sure we have, like I had the conversation with her for years, but she's like, all your girlfriends, make sure you bring them over so we can teach them and know how to, what to expect, how to advocate for themselves. And I think advocacy has always been part of like learning and that being part of us for our health in general, not just fertility health. But when I was 16, my mom was diagnosed with cancer and medical tourism has always been part of it. You know, I think I would have loved that maybe you have access here, right? And I think that's where the IVF medical tourism side of it as well kind of came in place. And that's what I originally came into social media talking about, because growing up here, I wish every single person had access to IVF in the United States. I mean, incredible doctors, incredible technology, things are advanced. You have all the options, but it's the access and affordability. They're the biggest issue when it comes to IVF. And so many people cannot afford it. And I think with medical tourism booming, a lot of people are seeing other options and going abroad. And I've been part of a medical tourism. I've done it myself personally for forever. My mom did it for her cancer. She went to multiple different countries, even ended up in the US towards the end. But it's something that, because maybe of the language barrier, and I think when it comes to oncology aspect of healthcare, you really need someone else there to advocate for you. And at the time, I happened to be the one. My dad, unfortunately, couldn't leave the US at the time. And I had to be the one traveling with her. So I originally got invested into doctors and knowing questions. And once I learned everything that went into that, I started advocating for her and on the behalf of her, became her caregiver. But also when it comes to I was a professional athlete for many years. And I think part of being an athlete is having to advocate for yourself and having that, knowing how to, like, for example, I had a tournament like somewhere in Asia. No one spoke English, but during the match, I felt a pop in my shoulder. I kept complaining, but they were like, "Oh, it's just overuse." I was like, "No, I have a tear, but you guys are not listening to me. So I'm gonna look up what is the best clinic I could just walk myself into, get an MRI, and send it to a doctor that I can trust." So I think
good for you.
It's. I mean, you have to be realizing that no one knows your body better than you do, right? And
I think that.
At Great Wolf Lodge, there's adventure for the whole family. You and your pack can splash away in the indoor water park where it's always 84 degrees. There's a massive wave pool, a lazy river, and tons of water slides for your pack to enjoy together. And the fun doesn't stop there. Get ready to explore and play at adventure-packed attractions from Magi Quest, a live-action game that takes place throughout the lodge to the Northern Lights Arcade. There's also a bunch of great dining options and complimentary daily events like nightly dance parties, all under one roof. And the best part? With 22 lodges across the country, you're always only a short drive away from adventure. So bring your pack together at a lodge near you. Book your stay today at greatwolf.com and strengthen the pack.
And maybe sometimes I think advocacy has a bad rep because a lot of people, it's like, oh, I'm going to fight. I'm like, it's not about fighting your doctor. It's actually about helping your doctor, like asking the questions. Because I think all the good doctors and the right doctors are going to welcome those questions. They're going to answer everything you have, help you better understand it. Because I've never went across into the medical field, right? That is all on the experts. But it's more like, how can I help you better understand me?
It's such a good way to look at it because you're not going up against your doctor. Like you said, you're working with them as a team and saying, you know, this is what I feel. This is maybe something you don't know about me. And like you said, speaking up and advocating. I'm so glad that you did that.
Yeah. And I think it's such a limited time with your doctor, right? They don't have the time to really learn years of things you've been through, maybe, especially changing doctors, going to another place. And so really the IVF world that I started talking about came about a few years after I lost my mom. I was really, really struggling with, at the time I was a professional athlete and I was in that world. And I think as a professional athlete, you have to be on top of your game in every aspect, especially mentally. And if you lose your purpose, you lose your why, you're kind of lost. And I had no idea what was going to happen. I just knew that I was trying to find a way to continue normal life, let alone compete at a high level. And I got a phone call from one of my mom's patients that gave birth to a daughter from a frozen embryo that my mom did years ago. Mm-hmm. And in that moment it was the first, because I cried every single day for many years.
Same. I pretty much cry every day still.
Yeah. Yes. So, I mean, there's so many triggers, but at this point I'm like, it's just normal to cry. Right. But
yes, in happy that moment, and sad.
Yes. But in that moment when she called, it was the first time that it kind of, you know, I mean, when grieving, it's a whole nother topic, right? But I think it leaves that hole in us that it was the first time that hole got a little filled with happiness and joy for someone else. And it was in that moment that I was like, I don't know what it's going to look like or what am I going to do, but I want to do everything I can to get back into IVF and try to help people. I can't help them like my mom did as a fertility doctor, but I think help them in any way that at the time I didn't know what it looked like. So it took a bit of time, you know, for me to really get out of the professional athlete world that I've been pretty much my whole life and transition. And the way I started was actually friends of friends started doing IVF abroad. They started asking questions and they knew that I've been living in the US for 15 years, but they also know that I have connection to European medicine. And so they started asking questions and they said, well, I had a friend that went to this and this clinic. And I said, well, how did they find that clinic? And they said, I read a comment on Reddit and I just went. I was like, you read a comment of one comment and you just went across like to another country? Like, do you realize like this is crazy? Like, you have to do research. You have to like learn more.
Right.
You're talking about your health here. You can't just go off, you know, it turned out good for them, but not everyone's that lucky. You know, I've heard some horror stories from people just going without doing any research.
So, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So really about a year ago, I started posting online about the importance of doing the right research, knowing how to advocate for yourself and how to find a place that's right for you. And I don't think I ever want to be in a position telling somebody to go abroad or not to go abroad. You know, I think that's a totally personal decision. And I always say, if you have the opportunity to do it home, do it here. Like, that is the best way. Mm-hmm. But I also understand that there's so many people who don't have the ability to even access to appointment. Some US here in the US, especially mm-hmm. if they don't have any insurance coverage. So they're automatically going to go abroad. And I said, if you're going to go abroad, let me help you at least know what to look for. So just talking about the research process and how to talk about IVF abroad. But once I started talking about that, I shared a bit of my story and why I'm talking about that. And the part that people grabbed onto most was the IVF baby part. And mm-hmm. I started getting so many DMs asking me about, oh, what about this and what about that? And I said, okay, when it comes to medical stuff, like, I can't answer that. And
you
ask that to your expert, but anything else when it comes to, like, how to tell your baby they're an IVF baby, you know, like, all those different questions that I think naturally come up, I said, I'm happy to help you, like, DM me, let's talk. So that's how really I started on TikTok. I was mm-hmm. horrible. I have plenty to learn, but I think my whole life I've been an athlete. I never really had to record myself. You know, the only recordings I've ever done was if I was getting an interview or something, but that is so different than just picking up the phone and trying to record yourself. So, I started about a year ago doing that. And then a few months ago, I started doing that on Instagram through the IVF baby perspective. And that's really how all these last few months of the content creation for IVF baby came along. It's really from all the questions that I get from people.
Right. So tell me about some of the DMs that you've gotten when you first came out and started talking about this. Is there a more frequent one that you get than others, like frequently asked questions? What would be some of those?
For sure. TikTok is more actually focused on their path, the research part, the advocacy part and all that. Instagram is a lot more focused on IVF baby. And I think it's different audience. It's the audience that already have IVF babies and they need help sharing the story. I, of course, get some mean ones. So, like, you should not be talking about this, which is why it's like, it blows my mind how much stigma there is still about IVF. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I was maybe clueless because I grew up in that world. And to me, that's something that was, it was not a taboo subject ever. It was something that was mm-hmm. always talked about.
Right.
But it was once I started talking about it online that I was like, whoa, there's still so much stigma and the hate comments and the myths. That's why I started doing a Mythbuster Monday, because there's so many myths. They're like, oh, you have shorter lifespan, you have diseases, you have this, you have, like, no, we don't. We're all normal babies
right.
with the help of science. The only little difference is that that I know from the other IVF babies is that I think confidence that when you share the story with your IVF baby and how wanted and loved you are and everything it took. I don't think obviously every parent's going to love their child, but just knowing what it took for you to be here today has an incredible psychological effect. And you'd be like, and then even when I say that, I get some comments where, like, oh, you're stuck up in this. I'm like, no, I think,
oh my gosh, the haters.
I just think you can't win, right? You can't win online with someone.
Right. It's such a vulnerable place to be. And I'm curious, you know, I saw one recently where it was like, I can tell by looking at someone if they're an IVF baby, yes. Like they have a certain look. Did you see that?
Oh yeah.
And tell me how that made you feel as an IVF baby.
I think I do have a bit of a thick skin just because I got so many mean comments as a pro athlete, you know, being sports betted on. So you only get to hear the negative parts when you lose someone money and then they cuss at you and then tell you all these mean things.
Oh my
God.
So
I think I have a bit of a thick skin when it comes from that side. But so now when I get, like, they psychoanalyze me. Like, for example, they're like, oh, her eyes are too wide. Mm-hmm. Look at her forehead. Look at this. Look at that. Like, it's too much. And I'd say, honestly, it makes me laugh. I share it with my dad now. And my dad's like, oh my goodness, I can't believe people are actually believing this, you know? But it breaks my heart because I actually get DMs of people telling me, like, I'm too afraid to share my story because how that's going to impact my kid. What if they start thinking they look different because of that, or mm-hmm. because they're just different from other kids. I'm like, no, actually, that's why I really hope that with time, with people talking about this more, sharing their story, you actually get to realize the beauty of it and not the stigma that's really changing people's perspective. And no one should be ashamed or afraid to share their story. It's absolutely incredible what they had to go through. I mean, it's really hard for the parent, but for the child to know that they're a product of that, I think it's beautiful.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. So tell me about when people ask you, how should I talk to my IVF baby? Or should I tell them, you know, when should I tell them? How should I tell them? How do you answer that normally?
I usually say as early and as often as possible, because you want to make it a natural conversation. It's not something like, I don't think it should ever be a big reveal. And I think the earlier you tell them, the more chance they have to ask questions, get used to everything. And I know personally for someone who's grown up in that world, knowing about it, I had so many questions. Like as I get older, as you get to learn more as a person about health, about yourself, and you're like, well, how does this work, right? I don't think automatically as a kid, I'm not going to understand all the medical side that goes into it and how the actual babies are made as a five-year-old, right? But I think that's why children books are so incredible and so important, is to actually illustrate it at a young age to give parents the right to kind of find a pathway for them to talk about this. And then I think it's going to be on the child as they grow up to have their own questions, which I think are always cute and funny to talk about and share.
Yeah.
As early as often as possible.
And that's what I always say too. But I also say to each their own, right? Like if you don't want to tell your kids till a certain time, also, if you don't want to tell them at all, I would never be someone that says you absolutely have to. I'm not going to dictate someone else's path or their life. Obviously, I feel really comfortable with it, but it's funny when you say, because in my first children's book, Work of Art, where my son, you know, learns that he was an IVF baby, I'm like, you were created in a lab. And he's like a superhero. And I'm like, kind of. But like the whole fact about celebrating that, I think is so important, that you were so wanted and we tried so hard and we did all the things. And, you know, like you said, I think that that gives them an inherent confidence. Tell me about some of the other interactions you've had, like on TikTok and Instagram, good ones. Like what are some things that people, I'm sure people are sharing with you their journeys and their successes. Does anything stand out for you that was like a really wonderful, like heartwarming moment that made you think, I'm so glad I'm doing this?
I think that's really that's one of my biggest whys now, you know, getting those DMs and really giving me the right to feel like, okay, no matter, because it is a very unique perspective. And sometimes I think all of us have that self-doubt and content creation where it's like, is this even like helping anybody that I'm doing this, you know, because you're investing so much time and money and being vulnerable about something online. So I do get almost every day, I get a really sweet DM saying, thank you so much for this perspective. Like, or this is how I'm feeling. And I've been really hard for me to share this or articulate it the right way. And one of the cutest ones that I do get is like, some people would say like, I'm saving this video to show it to my daughter when she gets old enough to understand.
Oh, and, that's so special.
It tears me up. Yeah, there have been, or someone, you know, like they ask questions. I said, I would like to hear about this more. And I said, of course, it's a great one. I'll make a video about this and we can talk. And then I say, if I make a video, you don't understand, because it is, I do believe IVF and all of the different pathways are so unique to a person that I don't think there's, like you said, there's no one right way, right? I don't ever want to be like, this is the right way, or like, you should do it like this. Like, it's all personal. I think the goal is to get the conversation started. If this is something you want to talk about, then you should totally feel comfortable. This is one way you can start it. But on how that goes on and how you do it, I think it's such a personal thing, and to your connection with the child and your family bond and how you're going to do that, that it's really, I think it's more supporting them and validating that if that's something they want to do, you should totally do it. How you do it, you know best. It just go ahead and do it. And I'm here if you have more questions along the way.
I love that. To wrap it up, Kat, I would love to ask you, what do you know now about being an IVF baby and being in this world that you didn't know then, that people listening might be able to kind of learn from?
No matter whether you decide to share a story or not, I want people that are going through IVF, I want them to know that I have utmost respect for the resilience that it takes and everything they go through. I definitely think that those journeys should deserve so much more light to be shined on all of that, because what a woman goes through, like I remember my mom doing injections in the middle of her work and travel and everything. Like it's something that, and on top of that with the stigma, right? It's something they should hide. Like if this is something you don't want to hide, you should not be hiding it. Like this is incredible what you're doing, the strength it takes. So I want everybody that has done IVF to really know how strong and resilient. It's not something they might have chosen. I don't think anybody really decides to do IVF, unfortunately, right? Something that they just have to do if they would like the child. But The resilience and strength that it takes, it's incredible. And for the IVF baby, I really hope that every IVF baby knows how incredibly wanted they are and that they are loved and cherished and that they're just like any other baby. The only part is I think every baby's going to have this, not just IVF. I think a lot of comments I get like, oh, she's making IVF babies better than IVF babies. Like, no, that's not what I'm trying to do. I'm just talking on behalf of IVF babies because if this is a story that you want to do, I don't ever want you to be ashamed of it or afraid to talk about it or think that you're different in any sort of like supernatural way, whatever one of the myths is going to call us, right? We're just like all the other babies. It just, I think sharing that story adds a bit of confidence from knowing the love and the bond and the journey it took for you to be here today.
All right, friends, thank you so much for listening. And thank you to Kat for sharing her story. Guys, I can't wait for you to see Petri Dish Princess, which is being illustrated right now. And if you want to be a part of it, you can. You can get your name in there. You can get your kid's name in there. You can get your family illustrated into the book, every single copy of the book. It's really exciting. It's kind of groundbreaking. And this is a keepsake that you can have forever and ever. So check out infertileafgroup.com for the details. And if you want to be a part of our book, we would love to have you, but you have to act quickly because it's being illustrated right now. So go check out infertileafgroup.com and share this with anybody who might be interested. Thank you so much. And I'll talk to you guys soon.